This is Joe Gunkel. You're listening to H10 Hunching Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger, the year of your Hanshin Tigers, the 350 win percentage Hanshin Tigers, which makes this the year of H10 somehow. Hanshin Tigers English News is the name of the game, and I am your host, T-Ray, joining me from Paradise on Earth for this episode 149 on May the 16th, at least in Japan, is Sanjay. How are you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing fine. It's the Ides of May here, but we're still good, and our 350 winning percentage is a heck of a lot better than a couple months ago or a month ago. So let's do it.
It is the season high so far, but it's bound to get better. And we definitely showed promise over the last couple of days. So before we jump into the recap, though, let me just introduce to you what we're doing on today's show. We are going to already give you a little bit of a sneak preview of what to expect during the interleague schedule, which is coming up in one short week. So strap in and join us for this great ride. It's time for some rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
First up, we got to go to our imports, as we love to do, Sanjay, and we have got some action, especially with the position players. Marte played on the farm for the first time on May the 6th and got called up, actually, on the 10th to the top squad, where he's done a little bit. We'll get to that in the recaps, but by and large, he's just an added bat. Unfortunately, we dropped Rojas Jr. down to the farm on the 12th, I believe it was, and that was because of inconsistent play and what, in my opinion, is extremely inconsistent usage, which maybe resulted in that.
Hear, hear.
So down on the farm, he's got a couple of doubles, but his average is still fairly low. Itayama got called up in his place. As for the other farmers, we've got Chen, who threw on the farm on the 7th of May, and I think that's the last time he has had a mound there. Three innings pitched, two runs against. He kind of doesn't look like he is ready for the top squad, or certainly like not like he's chomping at the bit, or like he's going to be the next man up. So it is what it is. Also, we will get to Keller in a little bit, but he is just as usual, stealth humming along on the farm. Man, I have a hunch. Actually, let's just jump into this right away. Hamachi, who was just acing it in the bullpen on the top squad, injured himself. He has a leg injury, so he got DL'd today. It would not surprise me if Keller gets called up to fill his spot, because we do have the import space now that Rojas got sent down. So that's a possibility to look out for, or it's something you may already have the answer for by the time you get this in your ears.
Especially because, as you said, he was humming along in the farm.
Exactly, exactly. So let's speak about some other farm guys. Actually, why don't we just cue the farm music right now?
Doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
Because we're doing our best down on the farm, you better believe it, we are 12-17-2, which is an improvement on the record. We're slowly creeping up on the third place SoftBank Hawks, but we are still in fourth. Not that it matters. There's no playoffs, if you will, except first place, and that's it on the farm. But it's a long season. Who knows? We've got lots of stuff going on the farm. Let me first acknowledge the one hitter that I feel like could get a call up anytime, and we would welcome him, is Onodera, who has got a 979 OPS down on the farm in very limited action, because he just got sent down, I think, during this past fortnight.
Go, Danchan.
But yes, definitely. On the pitching end of things, we've got a bunch of guys that are doing well, and also some good news on some other guys. So we'll start with the couple of guys who got the COVID late last month. Those would be Fujinami and Ito. They both threw four innings on the 5th of May, and then Fujinami was outstanding. Ito was his usual good self. And then he also pitched yesterday and went five innings with one run against as well. So those two guys are getting ready to come back to the top squad. As we've said, though, there just hasn't been space. And we'll talk about a key figure that kind of proves that there's no space a little bit later in the show. A couple of other guys that we want to talk about, though, those would be Oyokawa, who threw down on the farm. Remember, he was outstanding in the bullpen last season, a much needed lefty there. He has had, I think, three mounds, and two of them were completely clean. One of them was complete disaster, but at least he is on his way to getting some reps in. And something that I think is really some good news is that Saiki, who has been a development player for, is it two seasons or a season and a half? Or I don't know. I think it's actually, I mean, he has not played on the top squad in ages. He was a third round pick in the 2016 draft, I want to say. Made his debut at the end of 2017 and then won six games in 2018. He got back to double digits on the 4th of May. He has started on the farm several times. His most recent one was six innings pitched. This is on May the 8th with one run, six runs against, one of them earned, and eight strikeouts. So he is looking pretty good down on the farm.
But just to clarify, the double digits refers to the number he's wearing on the back of his jersey, which means he's no longer a development player.
Correct. So he was number 121, which meant that he was not eligible to be called up for any top squad action. Now he is back to his original number 35, and he can be called up at any time during the season and contribute to the top squad.
Yay.
Thanks for that. Other good pitchers. As we said, Keller, he has so far this season on the farm gone 10 and two thirds, no runs against, 11 strikeouts. So about what you would, I wouldn't even say what you'd expect. I mean, that's better than you'd expect, I would say. And then Ishii has only had three innings pitched because he's been bouncing up and down between the top squad and the farm. He's allowed zero. And then I would say the most eligible starter other than Fujinami and Ito would be Murakami, who has thrown 40 innings pitched down on the farm already. So they're really looking for him to come up at some point. And his ERA currently sits at 2.92, which is respectable, but certainly not dominant. Last year, he had two starts in the top squad. Neither went well. So he could get a call up this year. We will wait and see about that, though. All right. Before we recap the past fortnight of action, let us acknowledge the wonderful people at Patreon who are helping us out, giving us some love. If you want to join them, it's patreon.com/thehanshintigers, thehanshintigers, whatever you want to call it. We've got Shane Barclay, who is running Japan Ball and is hoping to get some folks into Koshien Stadium in August for the high school baseball tournament. I interviewed him a few weeks ago, and we will definitely be putting that show on the airwaves at some point as H10. We've also got Richard Geiwitz. We got Tom Zilla from Being Kansai. Got Rick Silvers on the digital platform. Fran on the digital platform. Michael Schulke, Koshien Tour. He has got a great podcast as well. Lost Without Japan, I think it's called. I should plug that a little bit better next time. And also Doug in the Netherlands. So this show goes out to all of y'all. Thank you so much for your love and support. We will keep putting out shows because of fine folk like you.
We love Tiger Nation.
Recap. All right, now it's time to break down some Tigers action. And my man, we were both very excited about the fortnight to come, saying after that six-game win streak that we were riding the last time that we talked, the good times were going to keep rolling. Maybe not like an ultra-long win streak, but at least we would be continuing our winning ways and we would crack a little bit more into the debt that we have accrued. That simply did not happen this fortnight. The tail of the tape says that we went a grand total of 4 wins and 6 losses and 2 rainouts. The rainouts,
I suppose it could have been worse.
It definitely could have. Well, the rainouts kind of worked in our favor in a sense when you'll see what happened after the rainouts. But let's go all the way back to the Yakult Swallows that we played during Golden Week at Koshien Park. And we served up for the kids who came out to watch these games a couple of zeros in the first two games, losing 3-0 and 3-0. Nishi was good other than a home run against Murakami in the first inning in that outing. We had just a couple chances, but no runs. And then the next day, Akiyama gave up some runs in the third and the sixth innings. He just has not been himself lately. And actually, we're going to see that maybe he is just about done for a little while here after his next start, which comes in a week's time. they had old man Ishikawa on the mound on that second game, and he owned us again. I don't believe this guy, man. He's a good pitcher. We'll give him that. I mean, he's got like, what, 183 career wins. But he's 42 years old, and he throws cheese, man. I mean, like, there's nothing. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's crafty. You know, at that age, you have to be. But I just can't believe he shut us out two games in a row. I'm very disappointed.
Oh, I think we're making him look better than he really is. Really, I feel that.
Well, I mean, his ERA certainly has gone down in his performance, his outings against us. That means other teams are finding ways to score runs on him. So we better do it the next time that we face them.
Here, here.
Might be coming real soon. Okay. Fortunately, we salvaged the series with a walk-off win on the 5th. That was the official Children's Day. So thank you to the Tigers for at least not getting swept at home with the kids in the stands. You know, we're trying to give them dreams of becoming Hanshin Tigers, but we don't want them to be losers. So Gunkel goes 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run against, 2 runs total. And he left the game down 2-1, but Sato with an RBI single in the bottom of the 3rd for that 1 run. Rojas tied it up in the bottom of the 5th with an RBI walk. And then Yamamoto with the RBI walk-off walk in the bottom of the 9th. What a spectacle. Their pitchers basically gifted us the final game in a sense, right? I mean, we didn't have to swing the bat to get 2 of those runs.
I'll take the W any which way we can.
You know, the way the season's going, that's all we got to do. That's all we can do is just take the ones that are given to us or the ones that we earn. So now we go into Vantoline Dome, the worst place in the world for us. And we got perfectoed. Technically, no, but yes, we did.
Effectively.
So Ono, who already has a no-hitter against us, I believe it was 2019 that he did that, is on the mound and went 9 perfect innings against us. Perfect. The good news is that Aoyagi was also darn near perfect, giving up just 2 hits and no runs through 9 innings and just 101 pitches. So in the 10th inning, the starters trotted out for the extended game. And the 30th batter of the game for us was Sato, and he ripped a double to the gap. But that was the end of the fireworks for the Tigers. Just the 1 hit, just to break the perfecto. And then the Dragons walked it off in the bottom of the 10th. So tough luck for Aoyagi. His first loss, his only loss of the season, comes against, well, a darn near perfect performance from Ono. So, you know, I guess hats off to Ono, but shame on our guys for being owned by this guy. And then the next day we followed that up with another loss, and Wilkerson was okay. 5 innings pitched and 2 runs against, but our bats were once again brutal. The only run coming on an Aoyama RBI bloop single. He was batting 6th on this day. He's no longer the number 4 hitter. And that triple was after Sato's first career triple. We had another good chance. We didn't convert. And Umeno hit his 10th double play of the season in this one. It was a bases loaded, 1 out. So, I mean, even if he had hit a sac fly or hit a softer grounder or whatever, oh man, this guy. He also had a double play against the Swallows earlier, so it's just not his season. It just isn't. I mean, we could read off his stinky numbers, but we just don't want to do that. Not worth the airspace. Let's move on to a win. So again, we salvage a series or avoid the sweep anyways with a win on the 3rd day of the series. This was Mother's Day, and Junya Nishi was on the mound. Looked really good through 4 innings, but then he gave up home runs in the 5th and 6th innings. But Aoyama tied it with a 2-run home run in the top of the 7th. And then we got the winning run home in the top of the 8th on a Rojas grounder. Alcantara with his first win of the season. Iwazaki with the save. And I read something interesting about Iwazaki. Speaking of Ono being perfect through 29 runners, Iwazaki has actually done the same thing at Vantoline Dome over the stretch of, what, 2.5 seasons or something like that. 29 straight recorded outs. And then it got broken, not on a double like Ono's, but on his own error. So Iwazaki committed an error to break his perfection, but he didn't allow any runs in this one. So it was all good.
He can hold his head high then.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just outstanding. Yeah. What can you say? He's really filled that role as closer, and I'm very happy with what he's done so far. So you're ready to peel off a couple more losses here? Do you want to talk about a few more?
Let's just rush right through it.
Okay. 10th shutout loss of the year was on May the 10th against the Carp. We're not saying anything more about that one. And then the next day, Akiyama I think he got sent down after this one. Am I right about that? He went
right.
4 innings pitched, 1 run against. All of the old curmudgeons were saying, why did you pull Akiyama? He only pitched 4 innings and only gave up 1 run and his pitch count wasn't that high and blah, blah, blah. But I'm actually not against what happened there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. He did not look good. And I mean, if they'd kept him in for the fifth, bad stuff would have happened and they would have said, why didn't they pull him earlier or something? So, I mean, there is no right answer there, except that I think the right answer was what happened. Unfortunately, we only got 2 runs. We got them in the bottom of the first, and then the Carp got a couple in the top of the sixth. And that was a really unfortunate scenario with a double play that just did not get converted. I believe that was our man Itohara that was the guilty party there, at least what I heard. He should have been able to. And then because of that, the next batter hit an RBI triple and the next batter hit a sac fly. So then the game was tied, or pardon me, that was, I think that might have given them the win. Anyhow, we had a couple more chances in the bottom of the seventh and bottom of the eighth, really good chances, and could not convert. So that was a real unfortunate end to that game. We lost that one 2-3. We are still winless against the Carp in 2022, unless you count preseason games, of which I was at one of them. But those don't count. So winless against Hiroshima in 2022. Terrible.
We need you to get you to some Carp games so that we get the wins.
I went to one and we lost. Yes.
Oops.
Yeah, I'll get to some though. I'm sure. So then we had a rainout on the Thursday and the Friday. Those are actually good news for us because we got some rest and we got some run production in Yokohama. If you'll remember, Yokohama is our home away from home, but we got swept there last month. And so this was back to the old ways. We won 9-2 and 8-1. On Saturday, Chikamoto with 3 hits, Sato with 3 hits, and Nakano, your man, Takumu Nakano, he of the 2 career home runs, doubled his career total, tripled his season total with 2 home runs on this day, 4 for 5 with 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, 4 runs. And Aoyagi, whose start got pushed back a day because of the rain, only went 6 innings and allowed 2 runs, but it was good enough on this day. I think maybe, you know, just having to make those extra adjustments in his schedule and his routine might have thrown him off a little bit, but 6-2 is still a QS, so we'll take it.
Not only that, but I read the press because I didn't actually see the game live, and they were saying it was Saikuru Goe, meaning he surpassed the cycle. We're talking about Nakano, of course, my man, whose jersey I'm wearing, because all he needed was a triple and he hit a home run. And so they were like, yeah, he exceeded the cycle, which is cool. But not only that, but I went back and saw the first double that he hit, and he was what, maybe less than 50 centimeters shy of a home run there as well. He could have had 3 bombs in that one game. The guy was on fire.
He was feeling it. I also read somebody else that said, you know what? I mean, when he hit that second home run, the game was already out of hand. So if he had just like failed to touch home plate, it would have been counted as a triple in the record books. Then he would have had the cycle. And that would have been historic. Nobody has ever done anything like that, I'm sure.
That's funny.
So, yeah. Okay, let's finish things off. As I said, we won 8-1. A little bit of a lucky 2 RBI double for Chikamoto in the top of the second, where their fielder just kind of misjudged it. And then Sato, it was his day to go off, hit a home run in the top of the third. Itohara with an RBI infield single in the top of the third. And then in the top of the fifth, Umeno sac fly, Wilkerson squeeze play that actually was a fielder's choice. Sato with another home run in the top of the sixth. And then Itohara with what looked like it could have been called an inside the park home run was in fact recorded as a single plus error, but he rounded the bases on that. So 8-1. Wilkerson outstanding in this one, 6 innings pitched, 1 run against. And yeah, even the 1 RBI that, or the 1 run that they got, Itoi was really close to making a nice catch at the wall. So I hear Wilkerson's wife and kids were at the game, and so maybe they just need to go to all the games for him. Not that he's ever had a bad game yet so far. I think he's had 4 starts and they've all been good.
They have been good, and I will gladly chip in to make sure Wilkerson's family is at all the other games as well. May I point out too, though, that the first 2 home runs that Nakano ever hit were always what they call abeku homerun, avec home runs. He and Sato always hit on the same day. So when Chikamoto hit two, and I pointed out that Sato wasn't pulling his end of the bargain, well, the next day he hit two, and I guess we can call it even and all is well with the universe.
Little correction, you said Chikamoto, you meant Nakano, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, Nakano, yeah.
Yep. So as we said, 4-6 during that stretch, that is a 400 win percentage, which is better than our win percentage was before, which, as we said earlier, means that we now have a 350 win percentage. Still pathetic, but it is creeping upward, which is the way we want it to go. So one note I wanted to make about this Hanshin Tigers team, why is there no space for Ito and Fujinami and Murakami and all these guys to be called up? It is because the team has now gone 18 straight games allowing three runs or fewer.
Wow.
Outstanding. If the bats would wake up a little bit more, it would not have been a 4-6 fortnight. It would have been at least an 8-2 fortnight. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple in there that, okay, we outright lost because of outstanding pitching from the other team. But we've had a lot of chances and we just have not capitalized. So it's time that these bats wake up and give our guys a little bit more love. The pitchers, I should say, a little bit more love. Okay. Speaking of giving people love, let's give some tough love to the man, Yano.
Wait, what did we just do? Was that on purpose? Pulled the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
So mine is quite similar to the last one. I'm just going to say it again. Yano, you keep calling these guys up who are hot on the farm or who you think are going to contribute to the top squad. And then you just plunk them down on the bench. This time, the victim is Hojo. I think Haraguchi, if not last time, he is a victim again, or he is a victim this time as well. So, and Itayama, who just got called up in place of Rojas, also found his way to the pine. And I think he's had one at bat in two games. So what you doing, man? What are you doing? You got nothing?
Oh, I totally agree. 100%. And not only that, but I don't think we're the only ones saying this. I'm seeing this all over the place. It's like, Yano, what are you thinking? If you call these guys up, you got to play them. Otherwise, why are they there?
Man, I think this season already, we have had more Yano corners than we had in the three previous seasons of Yano combined. It just feels like every time we've got something to say.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's jump into the hot topic. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics. So as we said, it is Interleague. It's right around the corner. It's still a week away, so we do have a couple series before we get in. But the next time that we talk, we will have already played two, if not two and a half, or maybe even three of the six series against the Pacific League. Just to give you a little refresher, we play three games against each of the six PL teams and we alternate. So last season, the teams that we hosted, we now go to their barns, and the teams that we visited last year, we will host this year, which means they've changed up the order of these series, but we are going to host the Rakuten Eagles. We are going into Chiba to face the Chiba Latte Marines, and then we're going to host the Saitama Seibu Lions and the Nippon Ham Fighters. And then in the final week, we are going to go across the Yorogawa to face Oryx. I think that one comes last, if I'm not mistaken. Before that, we are going to Fukuoka to face the Hawks. It's one or the other. Anyways, that's what it looks like. And today, we are going to break down for you what to expect from the first three series. Who are these teams? How are they doing so far? Who are their guys that we need to really pay some careful attention to? So I'm going to get things rolling here, Sanjay, with the Rakuten Eagles that we start with. It's kind of unfortunate we are starting up against the top team in the PL, but that's the luck of the draw. The Rakuten Eagles are 24-10-1, good for first place, and three games up on the Hawks, who are in second place. The Eagles, historically, have a 29-33 record against the Tigers. I believe they are the only PL team with a losing record against us.
Okay.
And the good news is that they cannot reverse that this year. So last year they went 0-3 against us. We actually beat Tanaka and their star rookie Hayakawa last year. in Sendai. So that was pretty impressive stuff. Of course, the bad news is that they've actually got some really good players, and we could be in some trouble in this series. So Shimauchi is their guy with the best average, and his slash line is 285, 364, 445, with just three home runs, but 20 RBI. And then they picked up Nishikawa from the Fighters, who non-tendered him, a very underappreciated player, I would say. And I heard rumors about why he was let go, but let's put that aside and just say he's slashing 281, 422 for his on-base percentage, and 500 with five home runs, 24 RBI, and nine stolen bases. And then they also have Asamura, who has been good year in and year out. So those are their three best hitters. And then as for key injuries and slumps, Daichi Suzuki, whom they acquired from the Marines, has been slumping bad. He is hitting right around the Mendoza line. I think he's just below 200. And then Mogi, their shortstop slash third baseman, just came back from injury. I don't know if he is going to be his regular self or if he's going to re-aggravate it or what, but that's something to look out for as well. As for who we're going to face, just doing the research that I did, I saw that their Tuesday guy of late has been Tanaka Makun, age 33. And on this season so far, he has an Aoyagi-esque record and ERA with a 4-1 record and a 1.17 ERA. It would be nice to bring Koyo in against him to have a real pitcher's duel, but that won't be happening. And then their middle game, they've got a guy named Fuji, who's fairly young, age 25. He's 1-1 with a 2.53 ERA. However, I also noticed that on the farm, they've got Wakui, another old veteran guy. I think he's like 36, 37 years old. He might be the guy that gets called up for the Wednesday game. And then Kishi, another old guy, 37 years old, with a 3-1, 3.29 ERA on the season so far. What I'm expecting from this series, though, man, I have seen that the Eagles have got a pretty good lineup. Like, they're not overpowering. They don't have like the superstar bats, but they've got decent hitters most of the way through their lineup. They've also been able to come from behind in a lot of games, so they are very resilient. And Tanaka has just been so good this year. I just can't imagine him coming to Koshien, which is where, if you'll remember, in 2006, he was the star, other than the handkerchief prince. Makun was the star. He is going to relish the opportunity to pitch on that Koshien mound. I'm expecting us, sorry to say this, but we may get shut out on that day, or it's just going to be a really rough game. And then Fuji, I'm not really sure. Wakui, I don't think is going to blow us away, nor is Kishi, although Kishi is not too bad. I think in the preseason, he did all right against us, but I'm not going to predict our record just yet, but I am going to say it is going to be possibly the toughest series of Interleague.
Fair enough.
And I'm out of breath, so it's your turn to tell us a little bit about Chiba Lotte Marines, my friend.
Chiba Lotte Marines, team record for this year, 15-23-1, which is good for a 395 winning percentage, which, interesting, is not that far above ours. In the standings, they are ranked fifth. They're 1.5 behind the Oryx Buffaloes, and they are one ahead of last place, Nippon Ham Fighters and Big Boss. Overall record versus our Hanshin Tigers, they are 27-30-5. I think, which means that they're also under 500. And they were 2-1 in 2021 last year. The star hitters on their team. Actually, this is kind of hard to say because, to be honest with you, their batting average, the team batting average is 209, which is basically Mendoza line material. They're fifth in their league and only a 0.001 above Oryx, which is a 208. And so their best hitter really is Brandon Laird, the sushi man, who spent his first 4 years with Nippon Ham after coming from the US and is in his fourth year with the Marines. He won the home run title in 2016 and 2021, and he was the best nine in 2021 as a first baseman. But this year, his batting average is 211, on base 265, his slugging is 338. So his OPS is 604, and you can't find that many people with higher OPS on that team. He's got four home runs, insane. 18 RBIs. And the next guy, the only other guy I can find with a 600 OPS that plays regularly is Takabe Akito, who is slashing 269, 320, 301 for an OPS of 621. He leads the team in batting average and hits and stolen bases with 12. So beware of him on the base paths. He's got more than our man Nakano. You can sort of expect a low-scoring game and a pitcher's sort of time to shine because, as we all know, they have Roki the Rocket Sasaki, who is going to be probably starting against us on the Friday night. He of the 1.47 ERA, 4 wins, 0 losses, 78 Ks, 85% quality start, 0.63 whip, 13 Ks per walk, and 14.33 Ks per 9 innings pitched.
Stop. My head is exploding. I don't understand those numbers, man. That is unbelievable.
Wow. It's ridiculous. So that's really the story of their team. They've also got a couple of other good guys. I think we're sketched. We don't know who the middle pitcher is going to be because we had Sato Shoma on May 14 and Ishikawa Ayum on May 7, and neither of those guys really did well. And actually, Ishikawa is like an old guy, like the Swallows guy. And maybe that's bad news for us. So maybe I hope we don't face them. On the Sunday, we probably face Eni Romero, who is a 2-win, 2-loss, but 2.12 ERA guy. So he's no slouch either. Their team. Yeah,
the good news on that is his ERA was 0.34 a couple of starts ago. So he's had a couple of bad starts, well, relatively bad lately. So we'll just give us that little bit of hope. Okay.
But yeah, so their team ERA is actually third in the Pacific League at 2.82. So it really is going to be a low scoring game, I think, is what we're looking for. Interesting tidbits. You probably have seen, obviously, we talked about how Rocket Sasaki was, he threw a perfect game and then was 8 innings into one before he got pulled the second time around. And then he had the issue with Shirai, my least favorite umpire in the Central League, with a called, or his attitude towards a called ball. It should be noted that on May 14, manager Tadahito Iguchi was thrown out of a game after the game was over for arguing balls and strikes against a different umpire. And then the next day, Brandon Laird was thrown out of the game by Shirai, the same guy who was threatening Rocket, because he was unhappy with a called strike and said something that you can't say to an umpire in English, as you would know from the movie Bull Durham. And Shirai apparently had somebody translate it to him or whatever and understood and tossed him.
Yeah, the F-bomb doesn't need a lot of translation for the most part.
No, it wasn't the F-bomb.
Right. After he got ejected, though, he did throw the F-bomb. I saw that. Right, it was very clear. But yeah, no, you're right. But I think Shirai admitted, he's like, well, I don't really understand much English, but I basically, like, I tried to understand it and I figured out that what he was saying was not appropriate.
Right.
Yeah. So, with the Marines, the good news about facing Sasaki is that that could be the day that we have Aoyagi on the mound, assuming that he slides back into the Friday night slot. I mean, he pitched this past Saturday, but I kind of feel like he didn't go as deep as he could have. And I think he may go on short rest against the Giants, even this Friday, and start this Friday night in that game.
And I think they would want him to be the Friday night guy if they had a chance.
Oh, yeah, against Roki. And can you imagine, though, if Roki does a perfecto against us and Aoyagi is the guy on the mound for us and he prevents the perfecto by, you know, going zero zeros into extras again? That would be just crazy. And I could see, you know, like the Marines are very aggressively resting Roki. So I think one of the reasons they pulled him after 8 perfect innings against the Fighters was that game was 0-0. And so even though he was on pace for a perfect game, he wouldn't have gotten it unless the Marines scored a run, which they didn't. So in retrospect, it was the right move.
Right. And there's a lot of discussion about whether or not that was the right call. And maybe that his consecutive innings, perfect innings, was a record that's going to stand. And if he had pitched and they had gotten a hit, then it would have been erased and all this sort of nonsense. So who knows? I'm happy. He's going to have another chance to do what he's done. So we're good.
20 years old. Yeah, that, you know, just lots of time for him. Interestingly, though, the very first pitch that he threw in his next start was hit.
Yes.
So his perfect stretch only extended to the end of that game that he got pulled. All right, let's talk about the Saitama Seibu Lions. And I know that we are facing them possibly after we record the next show, but maybe at least the series will have started by the time you all get it. So let's look ahead at the Lions right here now. They currently, I believe, have a record of 20-19. They're in third place, 3.5 games ahead of the Oryx Buffaloes. And overall against the Tigers, they are 32-30. And that, of course, does not count the 1985 Nippon Series, which, if it does, then we are perfectly even with them at 34-34. Last year, they went 1-2 against the Tigers. So if you'll recall, Sato hit 3 home runs in a single game in Saitama last year, and that was one of the highlights of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this time around this year. I think it's going to be a different series, and here's why. First of all, we got to talk about the star hitter of their team for this year, and it's got to be none other than Hotaka Yamakawa, who is just ridiculously on fire to start this year. I think he's only played in 22 of their 39 games, and here's his slash line for you. 356, very good average. 431, very respectable on-base percentage. 889 slugging. 14 home runs, 31 RBI in 22 games. He can't keep it up. And here's to hoping that his hot spell ends before he faces the Tigers at Koshien.
I'm rooting for a mean reversion here.
That would be nice. I mean, and it's possible. I mean, he definitely is a streaky hitter. He has been known to slump before, so it could very well happen. And if he goes against the right pitchers for us, it definitely could happen, but that remains to be seen. Okay, key injuries or slumps for them. Their catcher, Mori, is out with a broken finger. He threw his mask against a locker in anger and broke his finger. Ha-ha, serves you right. And then I believe O'Grady is stateside for his child's birth, if I'm not mistaken. But I would guess that since that news is about a week old and this series is about a week and a day away, he'll probably be back by then. Whether or not he's in the starting lineup is another story. So we'll see. As for their starting lineup or expected line starting rotation against us, your guess is as good as mine, because at least the first name here, I've not even heard of this guy, Shunsuke Sato. He's 23 years old with a 2-3 record and a 3.9 ERA. Sounds like he's slotted in there quite regularly if he's got that record of 2-3. They'll follow that with Matsumoto, who I think is a Hyogo boy, 25 years old, 3-2 with a 4.46 ERA, and then either Yoza, who's an Okinawan kid, age 26, 2-1 with a 2.63 ERA, or their super rookie Sumida, who right now is just 22 years old with a 1-4 record, but don't let that fool you. His ERA is just 2.7. So the interesting thing about these Lions is they are actually a very good pitching team this year, which is unlike anything I've seen from them in most of my time as an NPB fan. So I would expect that these could be quite low scoring games, especially in a pitcher friendly park like Koshien. It is the start of the week where the Tigers tend to play their best baseball on the weekend. So I hope that whoever we have in the rotation against this team is able to at least shut down Yamakawa. I'm saying walk that man if he is still on fire. Give him first base. He's very slow. He's not going to round the bases and get home very often. Way better to see him, you know, trying to run his way around the bases than trot. And that's it. That's all I got to say about the Lions.
Can you make sure that Mr. Yano is listening to this podcast before that game?
I will make sure of that. Yes, I will give him a call personally and say, listen to my podcast.
Thank you.
See what he says. All right, let's do a little bit of predicting.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going
to be? So before we record this next episode, which, by the way, will be numbered 150, we have got 4 series as tends to be the case. We are tomorrow going into, or I guess we're still in the Tokyo area. So we're facing the Yakult Swallows at Jingu. And then we will host the Yomiuri Giants for the Classic Series. And they're going to be wearing the throwback Osaka jerseys for that. And then Interleague starts. So we'll host the Eagles and then we go to Chiba and play the Marines. So it's Tokyo and then back to our home park for two and then back to the Kanto region. Any thoughts on what you think our record is going to be during this stretch?
I know what I want it to be. I want it to be 9-3.
Yes. I want it to be 12-0 if we want to get greedy, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I was thinking that, you know, Roki, Sasaki, and a couple other guys are going to want to silence their bats enough.
Yes.
But realistically, I'm going to say 7-5. What do you think of that?
I would take that in a heartbeat. And I am tired of being overly optimistic and then being let down, which has happened more often than not this season. So I'm going to say the opposite of you. Sorry, everybody. 5-7 during this stretch. I think the Eagles may overwhelm us. The Giants, it depends which of the Giants show up and which of the Swallows show up. But we're talking, Swallows are in first place right now. Giants are in third. And then the Eagles are in first place. So the Marines might be our best chance to actually put up a couple of wins, like win a series here. Of course, you know, I would love to see us sweep the Giants again. We are 5-4 against them so far this year. So there's a possibility. I'll say we go 2-1 against the Marines. We will split the Giants series 1-1-1. And then against the Swallows and Eagles, we will go 1-2. So I guess not 5-7, 5-6-1. Okay. If we do that, our win percentage goes up, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Although we definitely have to start canceling out some of this debt. So let's do it, Tigers. Prove me wrong, guys. Prove me wrong. Thank you so much for tuning into H10. And if you have not gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits. Patreon.com/TheHunchingTigers. Or check out our website, TheHunchingTigers.com, Twitter, @TheHunchingTiger, or @TheOryxBuffalo. Instagram, Hunching Tigers English News. YouTube, Hunching Tigers English News. And Facebook, Hunching Tigers English News. All over the place. The show notes have the details for all of that stuff. Special thanks to Lemon Music Studio, I believe, for the theme music and show for mixing this pod for us. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. Thanks, Sanjay, for joining me again today.
Thanks for having me. And let's go Tigers! Go Tigers.
Yeah.